How does it feel to be ranked number one in the country?
There was tension, and honestly, all of it came from the umpires.
These Clemson fans, man, they're no joke.
Duke number one makes no sense at all. What's your overall reaction to those tweets? Producer walks up and he's like, headsets are not working. So we can't do anything.
I'm taking Duke. Duke taking the series.
I'm taking Clemson. I think we're gonna take it in the first two.
Ooh. It is Softball Speakeasy episode 10, presented by the Softball Sanctuary. Reminder to use code SPEAKEASY for 10% off of all of their training programs and products at thesoftballsanctuary.com. Again, code SPEAKEASY for 10% off at thesoftballsanctuary.com. But if you're new here, my name is Rain Wilson, and I'm a former Duke softball player turned analyst and broadcaster.
And my name is Kelly Torres, current senior catcher on the Duke softball team.
Softball Speakeasy is a podcast that will give you a behind-the-scenes look at Duke's 2024 campaign. We'll be following storylines throughout the college softball season, and we'll aim to give you a behind-the-scenes look at what it takes to play softball at the Division I level. And we are very excited to have former Auburn Tiger and now Clemson Tiger, also former teammate of Kelly back in the day, Lindsey Garcia, on the show today. But before we get to that incredible interview, we have a lot to talk about, Kelly. But the first thing I want to ask you, Kelly Torres, how does it feel to be ranked number one in the country? Woo!
Rain, it feels unreal. Like, it feels unreal. When I committed to Duke as a junior in high school, when they were team two, when you were on the team, I'm sorry, I did not think we would be here having this discussion today.
Right. So quickly, too. Yeah.
So quickly. In 7 years, we're one in the nation. I mean, crazy. I can't even explain it.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many people to, like, give hats off to. Of course, your team. What you all have done this year has been incredible. What Coach Young has built, I mean, even all the way back to, like, the staff at Duke, athletic director Kevin White making the decision to add softball, that single decision changed your life, changed my life, and has changed so many lives. And it's insane. Like, the alumni group chat is going absolutely nuts when we saw the number one ranking. It is so well-deserved, and what a season you're having. But I want to tell you, so looking on Twitter or X, I want to read you some tweets, people's responses to that ranking. So Softball America has you all ranked number one. And I'm going to read some of the tweets back to that ranking. Duke number one makes no sense at all. No resume for Duke to be number one, really. Beating the average teams and piling up wins shouldn't be enough to get the top spot. Duke has zero top 10 wins. Weak resume, if you ask me. And there was, to be honest with you, there's quite a few more. Those are the three I picked out. But what's your overall reaction to those tweets?
My reaction is I can't control who's in the ACC. You know, FSU is usually a top five team. It's not my fault that they aren't this year. It's not, you know, VT's up there. Clemson as well. I mean, we're going to talk to Lindsey later in this episode, but we have played the big dogs in the ACC, and that is our conference. So at the end of the day, it's not Duke who is putting our schedule together. We're just going and competing, and whoever's in our way, we're winning. And I think that we deserve a number one. Like, we deserve to be on the top of that list.
When people make the argument that, hey, Oklahoma played you guys and beat you, why wouldn't they be number one? Like, what do you have to say to that?
I mean, you get better when the season goes on. Oklahoma was our first very game, and our lineup is different. Our pitching rotation is different. Like, we are a different team. You know, you kind of figure yourself out as the season goes on.
This is a moment in time in history of Duke softball that will never be forgotten. Forget whatever happens past this point. It's an amazing feat to have that happen in the seventh year. And I texted Coach Young and I said, congratulations. And she, you know what she said to me? She said, the job is not done yet. And so although you all are excited, Duke fans are excited, make no mistake, this is not the end of the journey. You all are not even close to satisfied with that. You don't get a trophy for that. You don't get a trophy for number one on week whatever, right? So for you all, of course, it's exciting for the alums and you guys, but can you speak to the fact that, hey, you are not satisfied at all?
We're not. This isn't the goal. The goal was not to just be number one on some list that people vote on, you know? We want to be at Oklahoma. That is the goal, and that's what we're shooting for.
Yeah, and you proved you have the caliber team to do that this past weekend, taking down the rival University of North Carolina series sweep. And for folks who might not follow other teams in the ACC as much, UNC came in with one of the best statistical offenses in the country. And in the ACC, number one in the ACC, and you all shut them down from start to finish. You play great softball. I mean, Claire Davidson, what in the world is she eating for breakfast? Amina Vega, what in the world is she eating for breakfast? And Kelly, I got to ask you, do you wear glasses? Because there was one play where you hit a shot to the gap. You thought it was a double, and it ended up being caught by the left fielder, Sanaa Thompson. So can you take me through that play?
Rain, that's probably the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me on the field. So yeah, I could take you through it. So I hit a ball into the left center gap, and I peek over, and I'm like, oh, like that's down, you know? I got to put my head down because it's going to be either a bang-bang play at second, you know? So when I get to two, I'm kind of confused because it's a standing up. Like, I'm standing up on second. I don't need to slide. No one's throwing the ball at me, you know? So I'm like, okay, maybe they just, like, held it, threw it to their cut. And I'm like, yeah, scored a run. You know, I did this whole celebration. So I hit a double. So I'm like, warrior two pose. And I, like, go into this little, you know, pose. And I'm like, time, asking in blue for time to take my Evo shields off and all that stuff. And then the blue's like, you're out. And I'm like, what? Like, no one tagged me with the ball. And yeah, so she caught the ball. The ball did not land on the floor.
Yeah, no. Like, I could see why you thought that, just because she caught it like kind of behind her. It was like a really good play too. And you crushed it.
And then she threw it super fast.
Right. It's so funny.
So like, I must have not seen that split second of like the weird catch and the throw. I just completely miss it. And then the jog off the field, I was like with my head down. The entire stands is laughing. Like UNC, Duke, it really just cut the tension. You know, like everyone was laughing.
And well, speaking of tension, I mean, I got to ask you, because like on TV, it looks like one thing. From the booth, I called the game on Friday, it looks like one thing. But the games were never, I mean, early on, they had opportunities in game one, especially. And they had opportunities to score, but can you take me through the tension that was there? Like, I know it's a rivalry regardless, but was it really intense? Or like, take me through what it felt like on the field.
I think the umpires built into that tension because if I'm going to be honest, the umpires were not good this week. And honestly, one of the worst umpiring staff we had. So the tension built from the slappers, and UNC's lineup is filled with slappers. Deanna Jennings, our slapper in our lineup, got called out of the box. As a catcher, I can see when the UNC hitters are out of the box, and they did not get that call. So that's where most of the tension came from. When I was catching game two, I actually started, you know, brushing the sand every single time the hitter came up, and I was like, oh, let me brush the slate so the umpire can see when you step over the line again, type of vibe. Ooh. So there was tension. There was tension. And honestly, all of it came from the umpires.
Interesting. That's fascinating. I saw in the last game where they did coach, what was she reviewing? Because that's not a reviewable play. But did she ask for them to review it? Or what was she reviewing? Because
it's not reviewable. I heard from like very, very shallow, she's kind of like whispering, but I heard that she was asking if we can review if it hit her, and it didn't hit her. But I think that was coach's way of being very sassy and like, go look that she was out of the box and like, come on, you need to be better, blue. So it wasn't, I mean, we were winning. We had two calls. So I think that was coach's way of just like, be better umpire.
You know what? I didn't think of that. That's very interesting, right? At that point in the game, that part's not reviewable, but at least they could see why y'all were kind of getting on them a bit. That's fascinating. Yeah. Wow.
You want to know something funny, actually. I think it was the first batter, like the very first batter. First off, hats off to her. Tip your hat to her.
Yeah, she's good.
First batter of the UNC lineup is crazy. Like, absolutely crazy. I don't know how many barrels he can get. But she was out of the box. Out of the box. Fresh line was painted completely. It was, like, clear as day out of the box. And so, you know, I'm a very passionate person. So I'm like, come on, Blue. Like, do you not see that? Look at the line. And then the Blue is like, how? It's an outside high fastball. How am I supposed to see the ball and the foot? And I'm like, that is your job, sir. You signed up for this. Like, you were supposed to do both.
And for umpires, they see when Deanna does it all the time, nearly every single time. Yeah. No, but it is difficult. It is a hard thing to see both of those. But at the highest level, like, that is the expectation. And also, for good news for you all, and I mean, the game, of course, is in postseason. There's four umpires. There's one right behind second base that has a better view and just is looking for that completely. But yeah, you all swept that series. Incredible, incredible job. While you guys were there, I went down to Spartanburg, South Carolina to call Longwood versus USC Upstate on ESPNU. And it was an interesting weekend, Kelly.
Well, I do want to congratulate you on your ESPNU debut, because that is huge, Rain.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take me through that. How was the experience? How was the debut?
It was a very interesting experience. First off, I got to say, USC Upstate and Longwood, they are great programs with a ton of NCAA tournament appearances. They're mid-majors that always make a statement. Their coaches were awesome to talk to. Their teams were really fun to learn about. And so leading up to the game, like when you're prepping and learning and you're meeting with the producers, you're meeting with the coaches, it was this brand new experience for me. Like, of course, I called the regional last year, which was a whirlwind in and of itself. And I learned what that level of production looks like. So I get down there. I actually, after the game on Friday night against UNC, I drove from that game down to Spartanburg, which is like 4 hours away. Got there at 1 a.m. because I just wanted to wake up there. I was 24 hours before the game, I was nervous, but I texted you, Kelly. I said, hey, send me your favorite like meditation. And you sent it to me. I woke up. I was so confident, felt really good about it. And my play-by-play who I was working with, we'd been talking for months now about this game, preparing, and it was kind of this big opportunity. And so I get there, I'm dressed up and I'm feeling good, got my coffee, got everything ready, got all my notes laid out. And about an hour before the game, just a little backstory into what production looks like, is typically you put the headset on, you're talking to your producers. And in this case, they brought in a truck from Kansas City, Missouri, to run this production. Ooh. You're talking to your producers, you're looking at the graphics, you're just getting ready for the game, ready for the opening, which is basically, you know, where they set the stage for the game. And, you know, I get on the headset and I don't hear anything. I'm like, okay, whatever. They'll tell me when they're ready. I start seeing people running around behind me. Like, that's weird. And I start seeing people kind of frantically touching wires and things. And I was like, maybe this is how it goes. Like, I've never done a game on ESPNU. I've never done a nationally televised game anywhere but Duke. And so I was just kind of like, okay. And about 20 minutes before the game starts, like, I'm getting ready for the game. Producer walks up and he's like, okay, headsets are not working. So we can't do anything. So, you guys just hang out here. We'll let you know if it comes up, but it's not looking good. So I'm like, okay. All right. Thanks for letting me know. Super chill. Like, all right, what am I going to do about this other than just suck it up and do whatever? So me and the guy I was working with, it was also his first softball game and first time doing play-by-play. He's a fantastic football analyst, but a new experience That's for difficult. Him as well. It's super hard. Oh my God. Play-by-play is so hard. I mean, it's very difficult. So, and next time you're angry at the TV analyst or play-by-play, just understand it's hard. But anyway, so he's like, we're both like, okay, what are you going to do? And then about two innings into the game, we're like, no audio. They move us off ESPNU. We're on ESPN Plus, and just like, oh, are you kidding me? And then all of a sudden this guy runs into the press box and he's like, all right, we are going to have you guys call it on stick mics, which is like a mic like this. in the truck right now. So get your stuff. So we like grab our stuff. And mind you, it's like 18 pages of paper around. I got a system for my pens and my highlighters. I got everything. I'm like, we're like kind of fast walking to the truck. We get in the truck. We like scoot in. There's like 15 people in like a small room. And like the microphone was like this for the first 30 minutes. And I was like, is that good? Like, you can hear me. They're like, yeah, totally. And then turns out first 30 minutes, I sounded like I was in a garbage can. And so it was, but eventually like the beautiful part about it is like, although I wasn't at the field, I couldn't really see the field. I just was seeing the screen. At the end of the day, we were just trying to shine light on the women on both sides of the field. And that's really who I'm sad for, in that the first couple innings, not only didn't talk at all, but also the last few innings, it was hard to properly document what was happening from our vantage point. But all in all, I ended up watching the game back. It was totally fine. It was like, and we knew the team so well at that point. We had talked to the coaches so much. And I feel like we did our very best to highlight those women, because they don't get many opportunities to be on TV. And so it was an amazing experience, because I learned a ton about the whole production side of things. And starting this whole gig last year to now, it was a beautiful moment to kind of capture all the hard work that I've tried to put into this craft, because it's hard. And all I'm trying to do at the end of the day is to highlight the women on the field and the beautiful game that we both love. And at the end of the day, we did that. So that's, you know, that's most important. So that's how the weekend was.
Well, hopefully they give you a little bit more time on ESPN, you know, maybe when things are working.
Yeah, hopefully that will come. But the team there is great. The team at ESPN is awesome. But and ESPN covers a lot of ACC on the ACC network. So let's talk about the ACC. I'm going to just quickly run through what teams did this past weekend. So it was Florida State over Louisville. They won the series 2-1, but Louisville gave Florida State a loss, which is big in terms of seeding for the conference tournament. That's good for you all as you stand on top of the conference. Yes. Pitt over Boston College, UVA over Notre Dame. UVA, their third series in a row that they won in the ACC, very, very important. Virginia Tech over NC State, but NC State took game one. So that's good for you all. And then finally, Clemson sweeps Syracuse up in Syracuse, New York.
I am happy that Louisville took one from FSU, because Louisville is a good team. Zambala's a great pitcher. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, not a lot of people are looking at them, and they're going to surprise some people come ACC tournament and postseason.
Yeah, I think to that point too, like there is a ton of parity in the ACC now, a ton of parity. Like UVA is solid. I mean, of course, you all have been incredible, but UNC was solid coming into the weekend. They just couldn't figure some things out against you all. And I mean, Claire Davidson and Mina Vega, I don't know how you beat them other than walk them.
And
it doesn't get easier going down the lineup. You got to deal with Anna. Then we got to deal with you. It's like, it's hard. So, and then also of course, you know, to your point about Louisville, they're really good. I think they're going to turn some, you know, they're going to get some things figured out early on. They had a rougher start, but they're good too. And then Virginia Tech over NC State. NC State can surprise some people. They come out, they've had a couple key wins this year. They're well coached. So I think the conference tournament, dude, is going to be really interesting in Durham. So I'm really excited to go as a fan. So,
and I also think those teams like NC State, Louisville, UVA, they're usually like 3-4 seeds come regional. Mm-hmm. And I think those are some teams that might be upsets, underdogs, as you would say. Mm-hmm. But those are some teams that could really throw some brackets around.
Mm-hmm. And a team that will definitely throw some brackets around is Clemson. So we'll move on now to our interview with Lindsay Garcia, an outfielder at Clemson, former Auburn Tiger, and we'll pick her brain about her college career, her starts with Kelly, and much, much more. So Kelly and I, as we were just talking about, Clemson sweeps Syracuse, and we have a very interesting perspective on that with our guest, Lindsay Garcia. Thank you so much for joining us, Lindsay.
Woo! Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so Lindsay, you're from Coral Springs, Florida. You're a current grad student at Clemson, former Auburn Tiger. You've had an incredible career, and I want to dig just right into it. So Of course, you spent 4 years at Auburn. So how can you characterize your experience as an Auburn Tiger?
It was definitely interesting. I first started with COVID, so that was weird in itself, just like not being able to interact with your teammates and kind of just that entire experience as a whole, kind of everyone navigating through it was just very odd. And then coming back from that, so I don't think it even got normal sophomore year. I think junior year is kind of when it started getting normal, but it was definitely chaotic, definitely exciting, just wild. That's how I'd put it. Just a wild ride.
Just wild. And so then of course you graduate there. Congratulations on graduating from there. It's a great school. And I want to ask you to take us through your decision to transfer to Clemson. So take us through the timeline of that and why you ended up at Clemson at the end of the day.
Totally. So we went to Clemson 2 regionals in a row, which is kind of, I don't know, unheard of. You don't really go to the same place. So first, our senior year, we heard McWhorter Stadium come off the regional. What is it called when you're going to?
Where
the
selection show.
And we all started screaming and cheering because our facility is named McWhorter Stadium. Mm. And then we looked up and we're like, oh no, we're going to Clemson. And so that was the second year in a row because it was obviously going to be between us. So we first thought that we were going there. And then I was like, oh my gosh, no way. We're going to Clemson again. So I kind of was familiar by the second time around going there. And it kind of felt like Auburn. And so I knew that once I was going into my senior year that I probably was going to want another shot, another perspective at softball, not so much schooling, but more so softball. And so when I went into the portal, it was for softball solely. There was no academics involved. There was nothing like that involved. It was straight, where can I go and just enjoy my last year of ball? And being that I'd went to Clemson twice in a row, the fan experience, the just seeing what the players had to bring to the table, the coaching staff, kind of something I resonated with. And so when I went, I actually went into the portal going into regionals, which caused a little havoc. But I got not with my staff. I got it all approved and all okay, all good totally. To go with my coaching staff and stuff like that. More so with the fans. But I went in with regionals. You know, I was a fifth year. I wasn't like a freshman or sophomore. I had some time under my belt, but I also didn't have time. Being that I was a grad student, I had to start getting into grad programs. So that was the reasoning behind that. And so I knew Clemson was where I wanted to go going into the portal, which is why I entered when I entered. So when I went in, I just guns blazed Clemson, and here we are.
Wow. And it's interesting you mentioned the similarities between Clemson and Auburn. Obviously, Clemson has one of the best fan bases I've ever seen. Auburn, very rambunctious as well. But I want to ask about your perspective on SEC versus ACC softball. Can you take me through the differences you've seen now playing in both conferences?
I literally was just having this conversation the other day, so I'm glad that we're talking about this. I think the ACC is so underrated. I'm struggling a little more this year. Yeah, I know, Cal. So far, I've struggled a little more this year, just kind of adjusting. Also, I'm kind of going through an injury. But, I mean, the ACC has some underrated athletes that I think could compete at the SEC with no problems.
Yeah, I want to jump back a little bit. Obviously, when you spend 4 years at a program, you build relationships there, you build memories there. And so leaving that this year and kind of looking that in the rearview mirror, obviously they're going through some stuff. They're trying to figure some things out. Probably the worst year they've had in a very long time. And of course, Mickey Dean is going to retire at the end of this season. So I'm curious what you make of that whole situation and his decision to leave coaching.
I was really thankful for my time at Auburn. I learned a lot, had a lot of interactions that I'm grateful for, had a lot of people that I connected with that I truly will admire till the end of time. As far as their performance and stuff this year, you know, I wish him the best of luck. I know that there's some great girls there that want to do a lot of good things and that really admire the game. And as for Dean, I wish him the best. I am grateful for my time, like I said, at Auburn and everything that I was given when I was there. So just looking for, I just wish everybody the best from Auburn. I did love my time at Auburn.
Yeah, it seems like a very special place. And, you know, we were talking off air about the traditions there, and it seems rich in tradition and community. So, yeah. And so does Clemson. So I want to ask you, and you might have already touched on this with the SEC versus ACC conversation, but can you describe like the different feels of both of those places, like the different feel of Auburn versus different feel of Clemson with the lens of softball?
Yeah, totally. I mean, like I said, the Auburn fans were great. They loved us wholeheartedly. These Clemson fans, man, they're no joke. They're like, they're the best fans. They show up. I mean, we haven't been having the season that we thought we were going to have to date so far. And they've still shown up, and they've still given us their all. They still pack the entire stadium and show up till the end. They don't leave in the middle of games. This program, like, I don't know if senior weekend's this weekend, they just took a quote for me, and like this program has changed my life. Like the coaches, the way that they care for the athletes, not just a, like, on the field so much, off the field so much, the teammates, they're just like completely locked into softball. It's just, it has been like, honestly, it's been night and day. And it's been really refreshing to know that that still exists. And I know I'm like, I made the best decision possible coming to Clemson.
That's just how we do it in the ACC.
Yeah, man, I can see that.
And Lindsay, I want to ask you too, because obviously, like, I benefited greatly from the transfer portal. Like, it changed my life. It was, again, it was like night and day. And so for the critics of it, they say, oh, you shouldn't be able to transfer, like, especially to a team that you saw at the regionals. Like, what do you have to say to those people, especially with what you know now of, like, this university changed your life?
I would like to say to the people that you have no idea what goes on behind closed doors. Absolutely no idea. You think you know because you come to a game or two, but we live it every single day, and we know what goes on behind closed doors. And so chances are these athletes are transferring for something bigger than just playing softball. And do I think it's pretty chaotic in itself right now? Absolutely. I think from minus our sport, I think it's pretty chaotic for football, basketball, whatever. So I think the transfer portal has its flaws. But I think if these athletes are transferring for a reason, and, you know, they can get a better experience, because it's not just about the program and the coaches, it's about an education. So there's a lot of factors that play into it. So I would just tell people, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors, and there are probably reasons that these athletes are transferring, and just support them like you did at that previous university at their next university.
That's so well said. We're gonna clip that, because that's like very, very well said. Let's dig right into Clemson. So you kind of touched on it. Not, you know, you've lost more than you all thought you would. You've had a rougher go than a lot of people expected, but still a really good year. But I want to ask, like, what do you all need to do? I mean, you swept Syracuse this past weekend, and I don't want to say what do you need to do to turn around the season, but what do you feel like are the keys to success as Clemson heads down the stretch?
I think we can call it like it is. Like, there has to be a turning point. You know, our team has faced a lot of adversity this season. So far, it's been something new every day, something new every week. It's like insane that some of the things that we've gone through as a program. But we are, I know my team, and I know that we're fighters, and that we really want this, and that we all have a deep love for the game and respect for the game more than the love for the game. We have a respect for the game. And so there have been a lot of conversations of how we can turn around, you know, what's been going on. And this prior to Syracuse is one of those conversations that took place. And I think we just have to trust in ourselves. No, you know, I mean, 1 through 9, and then our bench has so much talent. Mm-hmm. And I think we just have to remember that, and then everything else will follow.
Obviously, turning point. And even, you know, you said those conversations happened before Syracuse. Clearly it went well with the sweep of Syracuse, but this coming weekend, you have an amazing opportunity to take down the number one team in the country, and also Kelly Torres's team at home on senior weekend, where you'll be celebrated. So I want to ask, what is the mindset for you all going into this weekend against Duke?
Well, obviously we're preparing for that, but we also know that we can compete with any team. First of all, I'm so excited to hug my Kelly. I haven't hugged her in so long, but we are preparing. We are just trusting, like I said, trusting our ability, knowing who we are. We can compete with anybody. They did it last year when they went to Oklahoma. They were right, you know, one pitch mm-hmm. away from doing what they needed to do. So, I mean, we always like to say that we didn't lose anyone, we gained. And so if we just know what we have, take care of business, see the ball, hit the ball, play good defense, and no one can compete with us. I'm super excited.
And I want to ask you, because I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to the previous episodes, but I've asked, you know, girls on the Duke team, hey, who's the biggest rival? And without hesitation, they say Clemson. So I want to ask from y'all's perspective, like, is that rivalry as intense in y'all's locker room as it is maybe in Duke's locker room?
I think it's more of like a respectful rivalry. It's not like, oh my gosh, we hate them, we want to like choke them out. And, you know, it's like they're a really, really talented team. They've done what we've done. They've took a program in a short amount of time and had incredible success. Mm-hmm. And so have we. So it's just more like a respectful rivalry. Like, they're good, we're good, let's see what we got, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it's also senior weekend, senior day for you on Saturday, right? So take me through those emotions, because like, I got to imagine it's going to be pretty, you know, the tears might be flowing a little bit.
It is going to be so bittersweet. I am like, how fast it's gone. It's mm-hmm. like sickening almost. I feel like just yesterday I was a freshman walking in having no idea what to do or what uniform to wear what day, and now I'm a leader on a team, and I push the people around me, and I've learned so much, and it's like what this sport has given me is like beyond what I could have even imagined. And so yeah, it's gonna be sad because it's so early too, mm-hmm. how early like senior day is happening, right. But I mean, it senior day, I always feel like every year that even when I was an underclassman has fueled something within the team. Because now that you know, now it really hits you what you're really playing for and how your time is coming up to an end. So I think it'll be a good thing for us and for, you know, our program. And it's just going to be bittersweet. I am looking forward to like life after softball, because I think I've been almost 19 years playing, and it's just my entire life has been dedicated to that, thankfully. But so while I am super, I'm gonna be super emotional, I know it, right. I'm gonna be also pretty excited for what's in the future.
Yeah, kind of full circle. It's full circle, because it's like, I didn't even know it was your senior weekend. And we've been playing against each other, well, with each other, but in high school ball for so long. And it's like, wow, now we gotta end it, or you gotta end it right next to each other. It's kind of sweet. It's
crazy. I told my mom too, I'm like, the Torreses are going to be there. It's going to be like we're playing on Gold Coast. And
I know. It's crazy.
And y'all speak of Gold Coast. Y'all speak of Gold Coast, but I want to ask, like, I know you all were rivals in high school ball, but then you played travel ball together. Mm-hmm. Do you get kind of the same kind of feel right now? Like, your rivals, of course, Duke and Clemson, but at the end of the day, going through the handshake line, it's going to be hugs, it's going to be love. Can you just take me through that kind of emotion you're feeling?
Yeah, I mean, in high school, we both made, you know, the all-state teams. We were on the same travel team, but we played against each other. We both were at really good high schools. It's always been like that with me and Lindsay, and we both are very fiery people as well. So, like, all the attention at that time in the game were both on us always, so it's going to be fun to see how we both matured within the game and to play against each other. For the last time ever.
I know. Perfectly said.
And I want to ask you both if you could, like, on each of your senior days, send a little, like, message to your freshman selves. Like, all of a sudden you come back to your dorm and you see this note from your senior day perspective. Like, what would be in that letter to your freshman selves?
Mine would for sure say, like, good job or great. Something to the effect of, like, you never gave up. Mm. But this game has slapped you in the face 100 times since since you were a freshman. This game has slapped me in the face 100 times, punched me in the face. And, like, never once did I just think about, like, ending it and giving it up. I just thought it made me stronger. It made me want to go harder. And and it just taught me everything that I want to know. So I would just say I'm proud of myself for never giving up and taking every challenge as it was.
I would agree with that. The game slaps you a million different types of ways. But the fact that, you know, you made it, you finished, you're graduating, and in the program that we both are in, it's outstanding. You know, not a lot of, I don't know the percentage, but a lot of people say like 5% or 1% of the athletes who play sports, you know, make it to the collegiate level and then the pro level. And like, we are that percentage and we did it. Like, we did what our 8-year-old self dreamed of doing.
Oh, you guys did. Congratulations to both of you. Oh, it's amazing. I want to move on to listener questions, and we got two, and one of them came from one of y'all's old coaches. Can you guys talk a little bit about the influence your Cuban heritage has had, not only on your softball careers, but also the bond you guys had along with Kaylee and Bella Bertot formed on and off the field as your coach? The bond the three of you specifically built was special to watch.
I would say I took it for granted. Like, I haven't played on a team with a bunch of Cubans since, you know, we were little. And it's nice to be around people who are very similar to you. Like, Lindsay and I are very similar. We're loud. Our parents are loud. You know, we're goofy. Main character vibes is what's going on. And it's like, you just, like, go back and forth. The bicker's there. The banter is there, you know. And it was fun. It was fun. There was never a dull moment. Even when, you know, we're just sitting in the dugout, there was never a dull moment. So Kaylee, Bella, Amelia Varela, yeah, I can't even remember all the Cubans. We were just surrounded.
And I would say exactly that. Like, it, we had a common denominator. Like, we were all fiery. We understood each other. We had like a just like a natural understanding of how each other worked. And I'll say the same since I've obviously come to the South. I haven't played, I don't think, with anyone else to so far that's Cuban. And so I was just thinking about that the other day. I'm like, it takes a special person to like understand, you know, who we are and where we come from and our backgrounds. And I think I have to thank our families too, because there's a common denominator within our families. They're all extremely hardworking, extremely passionate, you know, teach us to fight and never stop until you get what you want. And our heritage is extremely important to us. And I think I would agree that we took it for granted while we had it, but it just made it that more special.
Mm-hmm. So cool. So cool. And I remember as a kid from Virginia, from like the South, playing women in South Florida, it's different. There's different level of energy there. And now that you've mentioned the Cuban heritage, like, oh, duh, that checks out, especially how Cubans play baseball too. It kind of goes hand in hand. But now I understand it, how Cubans play softball too. It's really cool. And then your coach also asked this question: what would you tell the young kids today was the key factor in becoming Power Five players?
I think for me, it was being on a team with a Lindsay, with a Bella Bertot, with a Kaylee, like being surrounded by other people who were great and wanted to continue to be great. You know, you're not going to get to where you want to be if you're not, you know, surrounding yourself with people who are pushing you to that level. Mm-hmm.
I would say that, and something I've always told campers that ask something in that realm of just like, what does it take? I'd say for us, we all had a different way of standing out. Like, every one of us just had something unique that people couldn't forget about us. And, you know, when you're elite, it's easy to pick that out, like what that is. And so I always tell campers, I'm like, go be that person that goes and picks up balls. Go be that person that when nobody knows each other and you're all like super confused, say each other's names and you're the one talking and you can call them by number. You can call them by team name. Like, you always just want to be somebody that stands out. And you have to find that in you. And then, of course, just surrounding yourself with people. I can't harp on that enough, too. At the collegiate level, people's priorities change. And some people are in it for the right reasons. And some people are just in it to wear a uniform. And so surrounding yourself with people that just want it and push themselves and don't blame and don't complain is extremely important. And I think that's something all of our coaches could say about us, too. There's a big group of us that ended up going to do great things. And there's a small group of us that ended up finishing and not to say that and about anybody else, but the ones that went the distance, like there was something that every one of us had that stood out to a coach.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Very well said. I think that's like perfect advice for a young kid coming up, stand out. And also hats off again to you both for your careers. And the last question I want to ask you both is to give me series predictions for this weekend. Who's going to win the series and how are they going to win the series?
I'm taking Duke. Duke taking the series.
I'm taking Clemson. I think we're gonna take it in the first two.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think Duke's taking it all three.
Ooh, we'll clip that, Lindsay. We'll clip that. Don't worry. Well, Lindsay, thank you again for joining us. This was an amazing conversation, like one of my favorites yet. So thank you so much. And good luck this weekend against Kelly. Kelly, obviously good luck as well down in Clemson. We'll see what happens based on the predictions. Thank you all so much for watching, listening, viewing, and subscribing. New episodes come out every single Wednesday. As always, if you're feeling kind, you rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And leave us a kind review if you're feeling it. But overall, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we will see you next week on the show. Peace.
Peace.